If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 13. The title of the message this morning is Keep Watch. Mark, chapter 13, verses 24 through 37. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars of heaven will fall, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest part of the earth to the farthest part of heaven. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed and watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to each his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. And that will be our text, that last verse. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. We hear a lot of talk about the return of Christ and the second coming of Christ. People like to discuss it. They like to debate it. They like to get into all of the different aspects of it. And we want to know all the details. What's going to happen? When's it going to happen? And all of this. And the fact is, we don't. We don't know all the details. We don't know all the winds and all the of everything that's going to take place. We're given a lot of information about what to expect and what to look for. In fact, Jesus here in this passage, and even in the section before this, I didn't read the entire chapter, but he goes into talking about some of the things that will take place. And he says, be ready, be watchful, be aware, because the time is near when these things take place. His return is very near. So what should we do regarding his return? Should we sit back in our comfortable pews and sing, Come Quickly, Lord Jesus? That's what we like to do, right? We sit back and we sing, Jesus is coming soon. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. And we want to talk about how he's coming soon. Or should we be about the business of the Lord, working to meet his return, working to meet his calling, working to do the things that he has called us to do? From the scripture that we read this morning, I think Jesus makes it very clear what our duty is. In the last five verses, Jesus commanded us to watch at least three times. Watch, watch, watch. This word is very important. When we look at the word in the Greek, it has the idea of being vigilant and being awake. And in fact, Jesus talks about that in this passage, as well as in the book of Matthew when he talks about his return, how important it is to be awake and to be watchful. We need to understand what Jesus meant when he said, when he talked about this, when he said to watch. Do you think Jesus had in mind to sit back and relax and watch for his appearing? How many of you have a watch on your arm? Anybody have a watch on your arms? That's good. I don't have one. I'll just use this one on the board. Maybe it'll work. Does that watch just rest on your arm, just sit there, and just wait for you to look at it to see what time it is? Or Is that watch constantly keeping time? Working? If it's the old type watch, the gears inside are turning and moving the hands around on the face so that you can see the time go. If it's one of these newfangled digital watches, then all the transistors and diodes and everything on the inside is working and the electricity is going back and forth, doing what it's supposed to be doing. All of those things are happening so that when you do look at it, it will tell you the right time. We are to watch. Jesus did not intend for us to sit idly by waiting for him to return. What he intended and what he said, in fact, what he commands is that we are to watch. You see, this word that he gives, this watch, is a command. And that means that we're supposed to do something about it. So how do we do this? Well, there are some different things that we can do. For example, we need to be watchful against sin. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9, we're told, "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen." Now think about all the things that the Israelites had seen up to this point. Most of the people that Moses is talking to here saw and experienced Egypt. They saw and they experienced the Red Sea. Can you imagine what that must have been like? To come up to a Red Sea, to come up to the Red Sea, and then suddenly the waters part. And you're able to walk through on dry ground. You imagine walking through and here's this big wall of water on either side of you. These people witnessed all of these things. And so Moses is telling them to be careful. Watch. Don't forget what your eyes have seen, lest they depart from thy heart. A warning. Matthew 26:41 says, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation." He goes on to say, "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Jesus had left the disciples there in the garden when he went on ahead to pray. And when he came back, he found them asleep. Dwight L. Moody said, "Excuses are the cradle that Satan rocks men off to sleep in." We like to make excuses for why we cannot do, why we haven't done, why we don't do. But we must be very careful that we don't allow these things to draw us into sin. Temptations are strongest when we are weakest, but so is God's power. The key is in our response. Paul, to the church at Corinth, said, "Watch, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." On March 18th, 1937, a spark ignited a cloud of natural gas that had accumulated in the basement of the London, Texas school. The blast killed 293 people, most of them children. The explosion happened because the local school board wanted to cut heating costs. And so natural gas, the byproduct of petroleum extraction, was siphoned from a neighboring oil company's pipeline to fuel the building's furnace free of charge. London never recovered from the blast that turned the phrase "boomtown" into a bitter joke. The one positive effect of this disastrous event was government regulation requiring companies to add an odorant to natural gas. You see, you can't smell natural gas in its natural form. And so when you smell natural gas now, you actually smell what's been added to because of this event. There's a tendency these days to classify all feelings of guilt as hazardous to our self-esteem. In reality, guilt can be valuable. It can act as this odorant, as a warning to protect us from danger. Peter said in 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because the devil, your adversary, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Be watchful and strengthen the things that remain," we're told in Revelation. We could go on with verses that talk about watchfulness against sin, but I think you get the idea that we must be ready. We must be prepared. We must watch. So let's consider several reasons why we ought to be watching for His return. These are kind of given here in this passage. The first is the uncertainty. The uncertainty of the time of Christ's return. In Matthew 25, 13, we're told, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." Mark 13, 33, we read, it says, "Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is." We look at the signs. We do like to study what the Scripture says, and we like to read about all of these things, and it gives us a lot of hints, a lot of things that are going to take place, and we've read about all of these things, and we look at all these things, and then we turn the television on, and we think, which one went first? Was it the Bible or was it the television news? Because what we're seeing and hearing is exactly what's recorded in Scripture. And Jesus said, when those things happen, watch, be ready. We don't know the hour or the day, but we do have the certainty of this promise. It is going to happen. And based on what we're seeing and based on what we understand, it's going to happen soon. So what are you doing to show your readiness? Are you watching? You know, we like to watch TV. We like to watch for the return of Christ. Are we watching or are we waiting? Another command that Jesus gave us is one that we often tend to overlook. And that is, He said, to pray. What are we to pray for? Think about that. What should we pray for? What should we be praying for? Praying for His return? Well, that's a certainty. That's going to happen. Or perhaps praying for those who are not ready for His return, which goes along with this command to watch. Also recognize the command to take heed. What does Jesus mean by take heed? We're to be vigilant. Again, remember this word watch means to be vigilant, to be awake, to be prepared, to be watching. We must always be alert. Luke chapter 12, verse 37 says, "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching." Jesus uses the example of the master going on a trip. And he leaves the estate in the hands of his servants. And when he leaves, the master goes off and the servants have a choice. It's party time, right? Remember when your parents left the house and you thought, "Mom and Dad are gone. We're here alone. What can we do? We can have a party," right? But that's not what Jesus said, was it? He said that the master expects the servants to obediently serve him as though he were present, so that when he returns, he finds everything caught up and all the work done. You know, like when mom and dad left and you thought, "We can party, we can have fun, we'll have everything ready before they get back," and they came home early. Oops. There are too many Christians who are doing just that. The master's gone, and so they're partying. And then when it gets closer to that time, then they'll get everything together. They'll get their affairs in order, and they will be ready for His return. What does Jesus expect in our relationship with Him? Does He not expect obedience? Does He not expect us to do what He has commanded us to do. He's given us a task to perform, a command, if you will. And He expects us to be faithful. And too often we confuse success with faithfulness. What is success, by the way? When we ask that question, we immediately begin thinking a lot of different things. Well, success is somebody who has made it in their job. They're making a lot of money. They're moving up the ladder in their work, and they're just making all kinds of progress. And that's success, right? No, that's not success. That's making money and moving up the ladder. Success in God's eyes is this: obedience. When you do what God wants you to do, when you obey God's will, you are successful because you're doing exactly what God has asked you to do. Success is relative in our way of thinking. Jesus didn't command us to be successful. He commanded us to be faithful. And that is success in the eyes of God. We also must recognize the nearness of the coming of Jesus. Revelation 3:11 says, "Behold, I come quickly." We spoke of the uncertainty. We spoke of the need to be faithful. Now let's talk about the proximity of His return. We kind of hinted at this earlier, but isn't it true? His coming is very near. It's very close. In fact, let me suggest to you that it's a whole lot closer than it was when He said these words. Well, yeah, I mean, that was 2,000 years ago, right? So we're 2,000 years closer to that time. But when we look again at the events that have taken place and how world events are shaping up, His return is near. Now, I didn't read and go into all the details that Jesus gave, but there are a couple of things that He talks about that as we look, we recognize. One, for example, is an apostasy. An apostasy, literally that means falling away. Man, don't we see that in our churches today? How many of our churches do we see pulling away from the truths of Scripture? Failing to say and refusing to say that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Churches, mainstream evangelical churches that we used to think they'll never deny the divinity of Jesus Christ. Today, they're doing just that. Apostasy, the falling away. Wars and rumors of wars. Do I need to say anything about that? Earthquakes. The King James puts it this way: earthquakes in divers places. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to go diving to find where the earthquakes are. Divers places means various places, unusual places. Some of the apps that you have on your phones now will tell you when there are earthquakes. Did you know that one of the main epicenters for earthquakes is not too far from right here? In fact, did you know that we have earthquakes? Most of the time, they're so small that you don't know it. But the equipment that the scientists have that they use is so sensitive that it picks up even the slight tremors. And they tell us that the earth is grumbling, it's trembling. Hey, wait a minute, that's what Scripture says, doesn't it? That the earth is yearning for the return of Christ, because when He returns, when Jesus comes back, the earth will be purified as well. So does that mean that we just give up? I mean, His return's almost here, so let's just sit back and wait and watch for Him, right? Let's just give up because His return is near. Or does that mean that we should work harder? The information Jesus gives to us was so that we would know when he will return. Now, we're not going to know exactly when, but we know that we must be ready. The information was not given to us so that we would stop doing his bidding and look to the eastern sky for his appearance. I think it was a few years ago that there was someone that made a projection that at a certain time, on a certain day of a certain year, Jesus was going to return. And so everybody went up to this hilltop and they stood there watching. I guess they're still there watching. I don't know. He didn't return then. No man knows the hour or the time. Not even the angels in heaven. Not even the Son, Jesus said. Jesus himself said that. Only the Father knows. The information that he gives to us is to show us that we must be even more diligent and more prepared, because when he comes, it will be unexpected. Consider an army. When they're preparing for battle, especially the battle that's close, they sit back and they rest and relax to get ready for the fight, right? No. They're checking everything out again. Checking your weapons, make sure your weapons are working. Checking your ammunition, make sure your ammunition is good. Checking all the details, make sure that everything is prepared. We must work harder than ever before. The appearance of Jesus will be unexpected. He says, "Behold, I come as a thief," in Revelation 16:15. This is a concept that Jesus presented also in the book of Matthew. He said there'd be two working in the field. One would be taken, the other would be left. There would be two lying in bed. One would be taken, one would be left. There'd be two working in the mill. One would be taken, one would be left. There may be two sitting in church. One may be taken, one may be left. Again, consider the concept Jesus is using. His unexpected return. Anybody expecting a thief to break into your house? You've been there, huh? We get ready for it, but we don't expect it to happen. If we did, well, we might do something like this, right? Put extra locks on the door, put cameras up. We do things to get ready for it, right? We don't expect it, but we prepare for it. May leave lights on, lock doors. We take every precaution that we can to prevent a thief from coming. But when it does, it's unexpected. The return of Christ will be sudden, will be unexpected, like a thief in the night. We don't know. We're not going to be watching for it in the sense that we're watching the eastern sky. But I trust that we will be watching, as Jesus said, by obeying his command of being vigilant and of working and doing the things that he would have us to do. He gives us a warning too. He says, "The children of the light will not sleep." We're not going to be asleep. 1 Thessalonians 5:5-6, Paul there says, "You're the children of light, the children of the day. We're not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." Albert Barnes, talking about this, said those who are Christians ought not only to be awake and to watch as in the daytime, but to be temperate. Temperate. What does that mean, to be temperate? They ought to be like persons engaged in the sober, honest, and appropriate employments of the day, and not like those who waste their days in sleep and their nights in revelry. A man who expects soon to see the Son of God coming in judgment ought to be a sober man. Now, that's not just sober in the sense that you're not drunk. That's sober in the sense that you're alert, that you're awake, that you're watchful, that you're vigilant, that you're doing those things that you ought to be doing. Dr. Barnes goes on to speak on the emphasis of being sober-minded. He presents a thought that I'll put in the form of a question. Is there anything that you do that you would not want to be doing when Christ returns? In other words, is there any activity that you are involved in that you wouldn't want to be actively involved in when Jesus comes back? Would you be ready to leave any activity that you're doing and be ushered immediately into the presence of God and stand at the judgment bar? This is the idea that Paul is presenting here in this passage. We must be ready to stand before God at any second. Not just because the return of Christ is near, but also because we never know when we will leave this life and be called into His presence. We are children of light. Do we show it? Is it evident in our lives? Is it evident in our actions? Is it evident in our speech? Are we faithful? Are we sober? Are we temperate? Are we alert? Are we watching? Are we prepared for the return of Christ? Jesus is coming again. It's a promise that's as sure as night follows day. Are you prepared? Are you watching? Anna Walker wrote an old hymn entitled "Work, for the Night is Coming." Listen as I read the last verse of the hymn. "Work, for the night is coming, under the sunset skies. While their bright tents are glowing, work, for daylight flies. Work till the last beam fadeth to shine no more. Work while the night is darkening, when man's work is o'er. Work, for the night is coming." This is God's command to each of us. Work, for He is coming. Are you ready? Are you watching? Are you looking for His return at any moment? Does your life show this? And that's really the question that we must answer this morning. Does your life show that you're watching, working, prepared for the return of Christ? Let's stand and bow our heads, please.